She bites, you let out a yelp, she giggles at your reaction, you giggle back, and suddenly she's discovered an entertaining new game that she can't wait to play again. Having teeth to bite with ups the ante. It's more satisfying to her, elicits more of a reaction from you. One thing that's clear is that a baby can't bite and suck at the same time. So if she's nipping at your nipples, she's not feeding anymore. And that could be why most biting happens toward the end of a nursing session. How can you nip the nipping habit in the bud before she becomes too fond of it? And before she has enough chompers to do much damage? First, pay attention to your baby during feeding sessions and watch for signs of boredom or distraction. Either can provoke a bite, so if you see one of the warning signs, you can prevent biting before it happens. Another preventive tip, if your baby is biting at the beginning of a nursing session, less common but it can happen when your little one is teething, offer a teething toy or cold washcloth before you latch baby on to take a bite off the pain and hopefully prevent a bite into you. If your little one takes a nip, the best response is a firm, no-nonsense, low-drama mama statement of the rule. No biting, and biting hurts mommy, as you remove the offending fangs from their target. Get her attention with an all-business tone, but don't yell or scream in pain, and definitely don't giggle. Your baby will either find your overreaction funny, which will only bring on a repeat performance, or be scared by your outburst, which could lead to crying or even refusing to nurse. Baby won't let go. Slip your finger between baby's gums so you can pull away more gingerly. If that doesn't work, pull baby close to your breast. Your little chomper will automatically let go to open her mouth and uncover her nose to breathe. Once she's off the breast, offer her something she can bite on, a teething toy, pacifier, or something chilled, for example, and tell her it's okay to sink her pearly whites there. You can also try distracting her with a song, a toy, or a visit to the window to see the cars outside. Be consistent with this routine, and eventually it'll sink in. Sinking your teeth into mommy isn't so much fun after all.
Room sharing now. Thinking of moving your baby roommate out of your bedroom so you both can get more sleep and you can have more privacy? While room sharing makes sense in the first months of a baby's life and is actually recommended for safer sleep by the AAP until the risk of SIDS has subsided, three can start to feel like a crowd as the second half of the first year rolls around. It can also be more difficult to attempt sleep teaching when baby's in the same room. Happy with your rooming in policy and in no hurry to send your baby packing to the nursery? Sharing a room or a bed well into childhood is convenient and enjoyable for many families. But if a family bedroom is not your long-term plan, this is probably a good time to settle your little one into a room of his or her own. Only have one bedroom, or you have more children than bedrooms? Then continuing to room share may be your only option. If you want a separation, even when you're not separated, consider a divider, either a screen or a heavy curtain hung from a ceiling track. It's also a good sound insulator. Or partition off a corner of the living room for the baby and do your late-night TV watching or talking in the bedroom. If your baby will have to share with another child, how well the sleeping arrangement works out will depend on how well the two sleep. If either one or both are light sleepers with a tendency to issue wake-up calls during the night, you may all be in for a difficult period of adjustment until each has learned to sleep through the other's wakings. Again, a partition may help muffle the sounds while providing the older child with privacy. For parents, dinner and a baby. Have reservations about eating out with your baby? Actually, the restaurant may too. That is, if you don't come prepared. Before you secure a table for two and a high chair, check out these restaurant survival tips. Call ahead. Not just for those reservations, or to find out if the coast is clear. You won't want to choose a restaurant with a wait. But to find out what baby supplies and accommodations are on hand. For instance, are there high chairs? Clip-on feeding chairs? Booster seats probably won't work until baby's closer to a year old. You'll probably be bringing some baby food along, but it doesn't hurt to ask if the kitchen is flexible when it comes to ordering. For instance, will they serve up pint-sized portions without charging a full-sized price? Will the chef tailor foods to tiny tots, mash potatoes without salt and pepper, serve fish without sauce? Children's menus may sound like a good idea, but they are often heavy on hot dogs and other baby-unfriendly fare. Listen carefully when you call, not just to the answers to your questions, but to the attitude they're served up with, which can speak volumes about how welcome you and your baby will really be. Get an early start. Plan to dine on baby's schedule, not yours, even if that means being the earliest birds to catch the early bird special. Another plus to early eating, the waitstaff isn't frazzled yet, the kitchen isn't fried, there are fewer diners to annoy with baby's cup banging. Ask for a quiet table in the corner. Not for the romance, obviously, which definitely won't be on the menu, but so that your group won't offend fellow diners or get in the way of harried waitstaff. You'll also appreciate the privacy if you'll be spending much of the meal breastfeeding. Make it snappy. Even four-star dining can fizzle into fast food when baby's at the table, so it makes sense to prefer quick-paced eateries where more time can be spent eating than waiting. Order the entire meal promptly, hopefully you've scanned the menu app before sitting down, and ask that baby's food, if you've ordered for your littlest diner, be brought out as soon as possible. Come prepared. Gone are the days when you could leave for a restaurant with just your credit card. You'll also need to pack. A high chair cover is optional, but it will make your baby's seat at the table more comfortable, snugger, and of course, more hygienic, plus easier to clean up afterward. A bib to keep baby clean, as well as some wipes. If the restaurant is carpeted, a splat mat to spread under baby's chair will be appreciated by those who will have to pick up the mess after you've finished. Toys, books, and other diversions. Don't take them out, however, until they're needed. Baby will probably be content to play with a spoon, flirt with a waitstaff, and point at the light fixtures for the first few minutes. And then bring them on one at a time. No more tricks in your bag? Try a game of peekaboo with the menu or a napkin. Jarred or pouch food. If Junior's not on the table variety yet, or if you fear there won't be any baby-friendly offerings on the menu, or just to supplement what's offered. Snacks, especially finger foods that will keep those fingers and that attention occupied. Nibbles can also be a lifesaver when the meal takes longer than expected to arrive, or when baby gets bored with table food. But hold these in reserve, too, until they're needed. If you don't see it, ask for it. Just because it's not on the menu doesn't mean it's not in the kitchen. Good choices, depending on what's been introduced so far, include cottage cheese, whole wheat bread or rolls, cheese, hard-boiled egg, crumbled, hamburger, cooked through and crumbled, chicken, minced, soft fish, cooked through, flaked, and carefully screened for bones, mashed potato or sweet potato, peas or beans, mash them, soft-cooked pasta, well-cooked carrots, cauliflower, broccoli, or green beans, and ripe avocado, melon, banana, and mango. Keep baby seated. Even if the restaurant is mostly empty, letting your baby explore the floor is never a good idea. It's dirty down there. Plus, it's too easy for a wait person to be tripped up by a baby underfoot, or for your baby to discover and mouth something unsafe, or to grab onto a tablecloth. Be sensitive to those around you. Maybe the table next to you can't get enough of your baby's adorable antics, or maybe it's occupied by a couple who's spending good money on a sitter to get away from their little ones for the night. Either way, be quick to exit for a stroll if baby is crying loudly, practicing those ear-piercing shrieks, or otherwise disturbing the peace of the restaurant. Know when to call it a meal. When baby has had his or her fill and has begun flinging what's left at the next booth, it's time to ask for the check. And consider, an extra big mess might call for an extra big tip.
Teeth coming in crooked.
My baby's teeth are coming in crooked. Does this mean that he'll eventually need braces?
Don't schedule that appointment with the orthodontist yet. The way those first baby teeth come in is not usually an indication of smiles to come. In fact, baby teeth often appear crooked, particularly the front bottom ones, which frequently form a V when they poke through. The top front teeth may also seem huge in comparison to those below. And in some babies, the top teeth come in before the bottom teeth, but that's also nothing to worry about. By the time your baby reaches 2.5, he'll likely be the proud owner of a full set of baby teeth, 20 in all. And though they'll probably have evened out by then in proportion and formation, especially because baby's tongue is always pushing against the inside surfaces of the new teeth, helping them to grow into even rows, don't worry if they haven't. Crooked baby teeth don't predict crooked permanent teeth.
Look who's talking. Think those adorable ah-oh-ahs are just baby babble? They're actually the beginnings of spoken language, baby's first attempts at figuring out how the other half, the adult half, that is, speaks. And it's a process that started at a month or two with baby's breathy, vowel-filled coos. Keep a close listen as those vowel sounds make way to consonant vowel sounds. When babies begin experimenting with consonants, they usually discover one or two at a time and repeat the same single combination, ba or ga or da, over and over and over, like the cutest little broken record ever. The next week, they may move on to a new consonant-vowel combo, seeming to have forgotten the first. They haven't, but since their powers of concentration are limited, they usually work on mastering one thing at a time. They also love repetition. After all, practice, practice, practice is how they learn, learn, learn. Following the two-syllable, one-consonant sounds, aga, aba, ada, come sing-song strings of consonants. Da-da-da, da-da-da, called babble, at 6 months on the average, though some babies begin babbling by 4.5 months, others not until 8 months or later. Also at 8 months, many babies can produce word-like double consonants, da-da, mama, ha-ha, usually without associating any meaning with them until 2 or 3 months later. Heads up, da-da typically comes before mama. Not a product of preference, try telling dad that, but a product of development. D's are easier for babies to articulate than M's. It won't be until much later, often not until 4 or 5 years of age, occasionally even later, that your little one will conquer all his or her consonants.
Tooth stains.
My daughter's two teeth seem to be stained a grayish color. Could they be decaying already?
Chances are what's keeping your baby's pearly whites gray isn't decay, but iron. Some children who take a liquid vitamin and mineral supplement that contains iron develop staining on their teeth. This doesn't harm the teeth in any way and will disappear when your child stops taking liquid vitamins and begins taking chewables. In the meantime, brushing your baby's teeth or cleaning them with a tooth wipe or gauze right after giving her a supplement will help minimize staining. On the other hand, if your baby hasn't been taking a liquid supplement, and especially if she's been doing a lot of sucking on a bottle of formula or juice, which isn't for babies under a year anyway, at bedtime, the discoloration might suggest decay. It could also be the result of trauma or a congenital defect in the tooth enamel. Discuss this with her doctor or a dentist.
All about making home safe for baby.
Imagine a fragile day-old baby, the one you were always afraid of breaking. Now put that newborn next to a chubby, sturdy 7-month-old, the one who's getting heavier and heavier to carry. And now guess which one of these babies is more vulnerable, more likely to be injured. Actually, it's the older baby who's at greater risk for injury. Thanks to all those emerging skills he or she is or will soon be acquiring, from sitting to creeping to crawling, rolling over to pulling up, cruising to, before you know it, walking, not to mention handily reaching for and grasping, pulling, tugging, and mouthing just about anything within reach, and many things that seem beyond reach. That's because even though babies in the second half of the first year have a far more advanced set of motor skills than newborns do, their judgment hasn't yet caught up to their on-the-go abilities, a gap that won't begin to close for many years to come, which makes your older baby a prime candidate for accidental injuries. Fortunately, though a baby on the move may be an accident waiting to happen, there are plenty of steps you can take to keep those accidents from happening. In fact, most accidents and accidental injuries are preventable. With a little know-how, some smart injury prevention steps, and a lot of vigilance, you can significantly reduce the odds of bumps, boo-boos, and worse. Baby-proofing around the house. Until now, your baby has seen your home mostly from your arms, at your eye level. Now that he or she is beginning to get a look at it from all fours, or on that cute little bottom, you'll have to begin looking at it from that perspective too. So get down on the floor and down on your hands and knees to survey your home for potential trouble spots and make changes as necessary. Windows. To make sure your little one can't take a tumble out of above-ground level windows, install metal window guards that attach to the sides of the window frame and have bars no more than 4 inches apart. Or install a locking device on double-hung windows that prevents the lower window from opening more than 4 inches. Screens and storm windows aren't secure enough, so they can't be relied on to keep a baby from tumbling out. However you child secure your windows, make sure you can open them quickly in an emergency, as in case of fire. Fire and rescue officials recommend that you use releasable window guards on at least one window in every room. They will allow for an escape in the event of a fire, but still provide protection against falling. As an extra precaution, never place furniture that your baby can climb on in front of a window. And if you have a window seat, make sure the window it's under is always locked or is protected by a window guard. Window blind cords. Your safest bet is to use cordless window coverings throughout the house, especially in your baby's bedroom. If you have blinds with cords and you can't replace them, it's absolutely vital to keep those cords, which are strangulation hazards, out of your baby's reach. Tie up cords on wall hooks so your baby can't become entangled. Eliminate looped pull cords found on blinds and shades manufactured before 1995. And install cord stops on all pre-2001 horizontal blinds and corded shades using directions from the Window Covering Safety Council, windowcoverings.org. Never place a crib, bed, other furniture, or large toy that a child can climb on within reach of window coverings. Doors. Install doorstops and door holders that hold the door open to protect curious fingers and hands from getting caught in slamming doors or door hinges. Install gates at doorways to unsafe areas and always keep an eye on your baby to make sure he or she doesn't scale the gates. Stairs. Prevent a tumble down the stairs by installing sturdy safety gates at the top of the stairs and at the bottom. Don't use a pressure-mounted gate at the top of the stairs. A child can push against it, dislodge it, and tumble down the stairs. Consider putting the lower gate 3 steps from the bottom so your little one has a small, safe area to practice stair-climbing skills, skills vital to keeping your baby safe in the future. Keep steps clear of toys, shoes, and anything else that could trip up your baby or anyone else. Carpeting on the stairs may improve footing and help minimize injury in case a fall does occur. A plush, well-padded carpet or a thick non-skid area rug at the foot of each staircase should also cut down on bumps and bruises. Banisters, railings, and balconies. Be sure that balusters, the upright posts, aren't loose and that the distance between them on stairs or balconies is less than 3 inches, so a baby can't get stuck or slide through. If the gap is wider, consider a temporary safety wall of plastic or firm mesh, usually available at stores that sell child safety equipment, along the length of a balcony. Your baby's crib. Babies don't usually have the height or climbing skills necessary to scale the sides of a crib, but that doesn't mean they absolutely can't. So adjust the mattress to its lowest position and remove bulky toys, pillows, bumper pads, all things that shouldn't be in the crib anyway, and anything else that could be used as a stepping stone to freedom. Also be sure not to string any toys, such as a crib gym, across the top of the crib. Never place a crib next to a window, near a heating vent or radiator, close to a floor lamp, or within reach of a heavy piece of furniture. Your baby's portable crib or play yard. A play yard or portable crib, if you use one, should have fine mesh sides, openings of less than a quarter of an inch, or vertical slats no more than 2 3/8 inches apart. Always be sure the play yard or crib is fully open before putting your baby in it, and never leave it partly opened. It could close up on a child who climbs into it. Toy chests. In general, open shelves and bins are safer for toy storage, but if you still prefer to use a chest, look for one that has a lightweight lift-off lid or a safe hinged lid, one that doesn't snap closed automatically when released. The hinge should allow the lid to remain open at any angle to which it is lifted. If you have an old toy chest that doesn't meet these requirements, remove the lid permanently. And remember that an old toy chest might be painted with lead-based paint, another serious safety concern. There should also be air holes in the body of the box. Drill a couple on each side if there aren't any, just in case the small child climbs in and becomes trapped. Like all furniture children spend a lot of time around, a toy chest should have rounded corners or corner padding. Unstable furnishings. Put away lightweight, rickety, or unstable chairs, tables, or other furniture that might topple if leaned on or pulled up on until your baby is sure-footed enough not to need furniture for support. Climbers, too, need to be protected from furniture they can pull down easily. Heavy furniture. Bracket heavy furniture such as dressers, bookcases, entertainment units, and shelves to the wall with safety straps, L-brackets, screws, or even heavy-duty Velcro to prevent it from tipping over onto a baby. Place heavy items on the bottom shelves of bookcases instead of up high, so the unit is bottom-heavy and therefore more stable. Secure to the wall any television that you place on top of furniture, even flat-screen TVs, since they can topple over and fall on baby. Dresser drawers. Open drawers are an open invitation to babies learning to pull up. Keep dresser and cabinet drawers closed so your child will be less likely to pull up on them, possibly upending an unstable dresser. Place heavier items in lower dresser drawers to keep the dresser bottom heavy and less likely to tip over. Loose knobs on furniture or cabinets. Secure any loose knobs that are small enough to be swallowed, cause choking, or get stuck in your baby's mouth. Sharp edges or corners. The sleek coffee table with the glass top was so chic last year, but once your baby can pull up and cruise, it's more dangerous than stylish. Cushion sharp table corners and edges with bumpers that can soften the impact if your baby knocks into them. The same bumpers work on any sharp edges throughout the house, such as fireplace hearths and low windowsills. Electrical cords. Move them behind furniture so that your baby will be less tempted to mouth or chew on them, risking electric shock, or tug at them, pulling computers, lamps, or other heavy items down. If necessary, fasten the cords to the wall or floor with electrical tape, or specially designed gadgets or protective covers that hide the wires. Do not use nails or staples, and do not run cords under carpets where they can overheat. Don't leave an appliance cord plugged into an outlet when the cord itself is disconnected from the appliance. Not only could this cause major shock if the cord becomes wet, but serious mouth burns could result if it's mouthed. Electrical outlets. It's important to cover electrical outlets to prevent your little one from inserting an object or probing its mysteries with a drooly finger. But the small plug-in caps that are sometimes used can easily end up in your baby's mouth. Instead, use removable caps that cover both outlets and/or are too big to be a choking hazard. Or replace the outlet cover itself with one that has a sliding safety latch. Or place heavy furniture in front of outlets. If you use multiple outlet power strips, look for ones that are child-safe or ones with child-proof cases. Lamps and light fixtures. Don't place a lamp where a baby could touch a hot bulb. To be extra safe, choose cool-touch bulbs when possible. And don't leave a lamp or other light fixture without a bulb within your baby's reach. Probing an empty socket might be irresistible to your child, but very unsafe. Fireplaces, heaters, stoves, furnaces, and radiators. Put up protective grills, covers, or other barriers to keep small fingers away from fire and hot surfaces. Remember, too, that most of these surfaces stay hot long after the heat has been turned off or the fire has died down. Ashtrays. There are multiple reasons not to allow smoking in your home ever. Here's another one. A baby who reaches into a used ashtray can get hold of a hot butt or sample a mouthful of ashes and butts. Always keep ashtrays out of a baby's reach. Trash containers. Switch from open waste baskets and recycling containers to ones that are covered and inaccessible to curious little hands. Exercise equipment. Great for getting into shape, but potentially dangerous for your baby. Don't let your baby anywhere near bikes, elliptical machines, rowing machines, treadmills, weights, and weight machines. And if possible, keep rooms that store them inaccessible. Every piece of equipment comes with its own safety risks, and all, especially those with moving parts, are extremely tempting to curious babies. Keep equipment unplugged when not in use by an adult, and make sure to keep the plug out of reach. Be sure, too, that any safety straps or other long straps on exercise equipment are tied up and completely out of reach for a baby. They could pose a strangulation risk. Ditto if you exercise with a jump rope or a strap. Always store it out of baby's reach. Tablecloths. Best to leave your table bare when there's a baby afoot and crawling around. Plan B, use short tablecloths with little or no overhang so your baby can't pull them and everything on the table down. Or hold longer tablecloths securely in place with clasps that are designed to keep outdoor tablecloths from blowing away in windy weather. Though an intrepid baby can reach even a short or secure tablecloth to pull it down. Placemats can be a good alternative to long tablecloths, but remember that a curious baby can pull down a placemat too. So if it's set with china or hot coffee, for instance, be sure your baby is carefully supervised and kept away from the table. Houseplants. Keep them out of reach where your child can't pull them down or sample the leaves or dirt. Best to keep poisonous plants out of your home entirely. Hazardous objects. Keep all hazardous household objects out of the reach of your baby by storing them in drawers, cabinets, chests, or closets with child-proof latches, on absolutely out-of-reach shelves, or behind closed doors your baby absolutely can't open. When you're using hazardous items, be sure your child can't get at them when you turn your back. And always put away these dangerous items as soon as you've finished with them. Pens, pencils, and other pointed writing implements. When it's time for scribbling, use chunky non-toxic crayons or washable markers. Assorted small items, including thimbles, buttons, marbles, or pebbles, like the ones often used in potted plants and flower arrangements. Coins, safety pins, and anything else a child might possibly swallow or choke on. Jewelry. Most risky, beads and pearls, which can be pulled off the strand and swallowed. And small items like rings, earrings, and pins. Some inexpensive, imported children's jewelry may also contain toxic metals, which means mouthing them could be dangerous. Strings, cords, ribbons, belts, ties, scarves, measuring tapes, or anything else that could get wrapped around a child's neck. Sharp implements such as knives, scissors, needles and pins, knitting needles, letter openers, wire hangers, and razors and razor blades. Don't leave these on the side of the tub or sink, or dispose of them in a wastebasket your baby could get into. Matches and matchbooks, lighters, cigarettes, anything that can light a fire. Toys meant for older kids. Keep out of the reach of babies, building sets with small pieces or dolls with small accessories, large trikes, bikes, and scooters, miniature cars and trucks, and anything with sharp corners, small or breakable parts, or electrical connections. Whistles can also be a hazard. A young child could choke on a tiny toy whistle and on the small ball inside any whistle if it comes loose. Button batteries. The disc-shaped type used in watches, calculators, hearing aids, and cameras are easy to swallow and can release hazardous chemicals into a child's esophagus or stomach. Store new, unused batteries in an inaccessible place in their original packaging rather than loose. Keep in mind that dead batteries are as hazardous as fresh ones. Dispose of them promptly and safely. Know what kind of batteries you're using. If your baby swallows one, call the National Button Battery Ingestion Hotline at 202-625-3333 or Poison Control 800-222-1222 immediately. Keep regular batteries inaccessible to your baby as well. Light bulbs. Small bulbs such as those used in nightlights are particularly easy for a baby to mouth and break. Use an LED nightlight, it won't get hot, or a nightlight made specifically with infants and children in mind. The bulb won't be accessible. Glass, china, or other breakables. Perfumes, toiletries, cosmetics of all kinds. They're potentially toxic. Vitamins, medicines, and herbal or homeopathic remedies, both topical and oral. Lightweight or filmy plastic bags, such as produce bags, dry cleaning bags, and packaging on new clothing, pillows, and other items. They can suffocate a baby or a young child. Remove clothing from dry cleaning bags and new items from their plastic wrap as soon as you get them home, then safely recycle or dispose of the plastic. Cleaning materials and other household products, even those that are environmentally friendly or green. Shoe polish. If your little one gets into it, the results can be messy and harmful if it's ingested. Mothballs. They're toxic as well as a choking hazard. Opt instead for cedar blocks, not small cedar balls which can be popped into a curious mouth. If you do use mothballs, store them in an area not accessible to your baby and air clothing and blankets out thoroughly until the odor has dissipated before using them. Tools of a trade or hobby. Toxic paints, paint thinners, sewing and knitting supplies, including thread and yarn, woodworking equipment, and so on. Fake food. Apples, pears, oranges, and other food made of wax, paper mache, rubber, or any other substance that isn't safe for children tempted to taste them. A candle that smells and looks like an ice cream sundae. A child's eraser that smells and looks like a strawberry. Guns. No gun is a safe gun. Accidents involving young children and the guns they find at home are completely preventable. Not by hiding the weapons. Children are capable of seeking out and finding or simply stumbling upon just about anything their parents try to hide. Not by locking up the guns. All it takes is forgetting to secure the lock just once. Not by teaching children to stay away from guns. Curiosity can easily erase parental warnings and overwhelm a young child's underdeveloped impulse control. But by keeping guns out of your home, period, and by keeping your little one out of homes where guns are kept. Young children are impulsive and incurably inquisitive, perfectly capable of pulling a trigger on a gun, but not capable of comprehending the possible consequences of that seemingly innocent action. Keeping a gun in the home, whether you think your baby or toddler can get to it or not, is leaving open the very real possibility of tragedy. The AAP and numerous safety organizations strongly urge, don't do it. If you must keep a gun at home, keep it locked up, inaccessible, and unloaded. Store the bullets in a separate locked location. Even very young children have figured out how to load a gun. And buy a trigger lock or other device to prevent accidental discharge.
Safe gates. Sometimes the only way to keep your baby away from danger is to make it inaccessible, and that's why safety gates can be indispensable. Use them to keep your baby in a room that's safe or out of a room that's not. Also use them at the bottom of steps and at the top of steps. Gates can be portable. These usually have to be released and moved for anyone to get through the doorway, or permanent. These usually stay in place but swing open after unlatching, depending on your needs. Both varieties are generally adjustable to fit different door frame sizes and can vary from 24 to 32 inches in height. If you are installing a permanent gate, which you definitely should at the top of the stairs, be sure to screw it into wooden wall studs or use drywall anchors to prevent toppling under the pressure of an eager-to-escape baby. Drywall or plaster alone won't hold the screws securely. Choose models with plexiglass or fine mesh. If the mesh is flexible, it will be even harder for your baby to pull up on the gate. Or those with vertical slats, no more than 2 3/8 inches apart. Avoid using a hand-me-down gate, because older models, like accordion gates, are often unsafe. Any gate you use should be sturdy, with a non-toxic finish, no sharp parts, no parts that can catch little fingers, and no small parts that can break off and be mouthed. Follow installation directions exactly. Kick butt. Nothing you can buy in a baby store, splurge on in a toy store, or sock away into a savings account can match the gift to your baby of growing up in a smoke-free environment. Babies who are around parents and other caregivers who smoke have a greater risk of SIDS, respiratory illnesses, colds, flu, bronchiolitis, asthma, and ear infections during the first year of life. Not only are the children of smokers sick more often than children of non-smokers, but their illnesses also last longer. And it's not just secondhand smoke that's harmful. Third-hand smoke, from smoke that lingers on clothes of smokers, may be just as damaging to a child's health. Perhaps worst of all, kids of smokers are more likely to become smokers themselves. So quitting may not only keep your child healthier in childhood, it may also keep him or her alive and well longer. And if that's not motivation enough, keep this in mind too. By quitting, you'll be giving your baby the gift of healthier parents. Texting while parenting. Could technology diminish your ability to properly supervise your little one? Experts say yes, and they point to the sharp uptick in injuries and accidents among young children whose parents are driven to distraction by their smartphones or tablets or minis when they should be watching their little ones instead. Research shows that parents are more absorbed in their mobile devices than they think, and though people report they are paying attention to what's going on around them when they're texting or posting, it turns out the opposite is true. Clearly, the estimated 11 hours per day parents spend on digital media cuts into important social interaction time with little ones, but it can also put those little ones at risk for accidental injury. So be a smart and attentive parent and prevent such so-called device distraction. Fight the urge to multitask with your mobile, texting, photo sharing, emailing, when you're supposed to be watching or playing or interacting with your cutie. Remember, all it takes is a split second for your baby to get into trouble. That text or tweet can wait until baby's nap time. Red light greenery. Your baby may not be eating leafy greens at the table yet, but that doesn't mean he or she would pass on the chance to chomp a handful or two of leaves off the house and garden plants. Problem is, some common plants are poisonous, or at the very least, cause stomach upset when eaten. So keep all plants out of reach, and always assume babies can reach farther than you think. And farm out potentially harmful plants to friends who don't have small children, at least until your baby is more mindful of what belongs in his or her mouth. And just in case, know the botanical names of all your plants. So if your baby does take a nibble of one, you'll be able to identify the plant in question for the doctor or poison control. The following is a list of some, but not all, of the more common poisonous houseplants. Amaryllis, arrowhead vine, azalea, caladium, clivia, devil's ivy, dumb cane, elephant's ear, English ivy, flamingo flower, foxglove, holly, ivy, Jerusalem cherry, mistletoe, myrtle, oleander, oxalis, peace lily, poinsettia, umbrella tree.
Baby-proofing in the kitchen. Since families generally spend a great deal of time in the kitchen, babies do too. To ensure that your kitchen is baby-safe, take the following precautions. Rearrange storage areas. Try to move anything that should be off limits to your little one to upper cabinets and drawers. This includes glassware and dishes that are breakable, food wrap boxes with serrated edges, sharp knives, utensils with slim handles that can poke an eye, skewers, graters, peelers, bag clips, and appliances with intricate gears that can pinch little fingers, like an egg beater, nutcracker, or can opener. Cleaning products, alcoholic beverages, medicines, anything in a breakable container, or potentially dangerous foods. Nuts, hot peppers, bay leaves, sticky or hard candy, jars of peanut butter. Keep child-safe pots and pans, wooden and plastic utensils, unopened food packages that would be safe if opened, and dish towels and cloths in the more accessible lower cabinets and drawers. Install child guard latches on drawers or cabinets that house dangerous items or items you don't want your baby to touch, even if you believe these cabinets are inaccessible to your baby. What your baby cares to go after and to what lengths and heights he or she will go to get it will change over time and depends on your baby and eventually your toddler. So your storage arrangement may have to change as well. Reassess periodically and as needed, and always overestimate your baby's resourcefulness, strength, and skill. Use back burners of the range for cooking when possible, and always turn the handles of pots toward the rear. If the burner controls are on the front of the range, snap on commercial stovetop covers. Appliance latches can keep conventional and microwave ovens inaccessible. Remember that the outsides of some ovens and other appliances such as toasters, coffee makers, and slow cookers can get hot enough to cause burns and can stay hot long after they've been turned off, so keep them out of reach of baby. Keep the dishwasher locked between uses and be careful when you're loading and unloading. It takes only a second for a baby to reach for something sharp or breakable. Keep dishwasher detergents, especially those colorful and appealing to baby dishwasher pods, out of reach of babies. Keep sponges out of reach. One bite of a sponge can turn into a choking hazard. Plus, used sponges can harbor plenty of bacteria. Keep the refrigerator off limits to your baby by installing an appliance latch. Also avoid small refrigerator magnets. They're often appealing and, since they may be choking hazards, dangerous. By the way, all magnets are unsafe for baby and downright dangerous if swallowed, so be sure to keep them out of baby's reach. Don't sit your baby on a countertop. Besides the potential for a tumble, those curious fingers could quickly end up reaching for something they shouldn't, like a knife or a toaster. To avoid spills that burn, don't carry your baby and a hot beverage or dish at the same time. Be careful, too, not to leave a hot cup or dish at the edge of a table or counter, near your baby's high chair, or any place else where small hands can reach it. Keep garbage and recycling in tightly covered containers that your little one can't open and rummage through, or under the sink behind a securely latched door. Clean up all spills promptly. They make for slippery floors. Store kitchen detergents, scouring powder or soap pads, silver polish, and all other potentially toxic kitchen supplies out of your baby's reach. Don't store food and non-food products, like cleaning products, together. It's too easy to confuse or inadvertently switch them. Don't leave a cleaning or utility bucket or other container of water standing around and within reach of your baby. A baby can drown in just a couple of inches of water.
Happy, safe holidays. Holidays are always more magical, more wondrous, more fun through a little one's eyes. But to make sure the celebrations are as safe as they are festive, keep these holiday safety tips in mind during every season. Don't take a holiday from safety. Assess holiday decorations for safety as you would any other household objects. Examine them for breakability, small parts, toxicity, choking hazards, fake snow, for instance, and size. Tiny tree ornaments or dreidels, for example, are unsafe. And place anything unsafe high, out of the reach of young children. Avoid decorations that resemble candy or food that may tempt a young child to try to eat them. Light safely. Be sure any decorative lights you use are UL approved and are installed according to instructions. Check cords from lights used in previous years to be sure they are not frayed. And never, ever allow your baby or toddler or preschooler to play with lights, even when they are unplugged. Get that glow the safe way. Place lighted candles where children can't reach them and away from curtains and paper decorations. Keep nearby windows closed so a breeze won't fan the flames. Never leave lighted candles on a table draped with a cloth that a baby can pull off. And be sure to carefully blow out the candles before going to bed or leaving the house. Keep jack-o'-lanterns or luminarias unlit, or light them with a glow stick instead of a candle. Give the gift of safety. Don't leave potentially unsafe gifts under a tree or arranged anywhere else accessible to your baby. Be sure gift wrapping bows or ribbons are not easily accessible to your baby's reach, and clear away all wrappings, bags, and gift decorations promptly after gifts are opened. When trimming a full-size tree, make sure your baby can't pull down on the hanging lights or branches and topple it over. Or safer still, trim a tabletop tree that baby can enjoy from a safe distance. And in the interest of fire safety, purchase either a fire-retardant artificial tree or the freshest tree you can find. The needles should bend, not break. Then have a couple of inches sawed off the trunk and set it up in a water-filled tree stand. But make sure your baby can't get into the water. Or opt for a live tree you can plant later or donate to a local park, though keep your baby away from the soil. Leave fireworks to the pros. Don't try to create your own fireworks display. Even Class C fireworks, labeled safe and sane by sellers, are potentially dangerous, as are sparklers. So, as recommended by the AAP and many safety organizations, never use fireworks or sparklers at home, especially near children. Get your fireworks fix at public events. And if you do, and will be close to the loud display, be sure to use child-sized noise-muffling earmuffs or headphones to protect your baby's delicate ears. Not a do-it-yourselfer. just don't have the time, the inclination, or confidence to baby-proof your home and feeling pretty overwhelmed about the prospect after reading over this section, consider hiring a professional to do the job for you. Childproofing services do it all, from fire and electrical safety to latches of every variety. They'll investigate your home for potential dangers and take all the appropriate precautions for you, securing furniture, cabinets, and doors, installing window guards, gates, and alarms, scanning for choking, poisoning, and burn hazards, checking wiring, safeguarding your pool, and more. Does peace of mind come with a price? Absolutely. These services can be expensive. To make sure you're getting a service that knows its stuff, look for one that's HHT, Home Hazards Test, certified, and belongs to the International Association for Child Safety, IAFCS. For more information, go to IAFCS.org.
Baby-proofing in the bathroom. The bathroom is full of fascination for a curious child, but it's also full of potential risk, which means your baby should always be closely supervised in it. One way to keep it off limits is to put a hook and eye or other latch or lock high up on the bathroom door and to keep it latched when not in use. But don't count on locks. Inevitably, there will be times when the door is left open. Make your bathroom baby safe too by taking the following precautions. If the tub isn't non-slip, apply non-slip decals or use a rubber bath mat. Use non-skid bath rugs on the floor to minimize falls and to cushion your baby when they do occur. Latch all bathroom drawers and cabinets. Among the many bathroom staples you should keep behind latch doors, medications, including over-the-counter or homeopathic ones, vitamins, mouthwash, toothpaste, hair products, skincare products, cosmetics, razors, scissors, tweezers, clippers, and bathroom cleaning products, including the toilet bowl brush and the plunger. Never use a hairdryer or other electrical appliance near your baby when he or she is in the bath or playing with water. Always unplug and safely store the hairdryer, curling iron, and other small electrical appliances when they're not being used. Keep in mind, too, that the cords themselves present a strangulation hazard. For optimum safety, put these appliances away promptly after using, and don't put them down for a moment when you're using them around your baby, or use them while you're holding baby. To prevent severe or lethal shocks, make sure all outlets in the bathroom and kitchen have code-mandated ground fault circuit interrupters. They'll have the little reset buttons. Keep the water temperature in your home set no higher than 120 degrees to help minimize accidental scalding. Young children have thin skin, so water at 140 degrees can give a child a third-degree burn, serious enough to require a skin graft in just 3 seconds. If you can't adjust the heat setting, if you live in an apartment house, for example, install an anti-scald safety device available from plumbing supply stores in the tub, which will slow water to a trickle if it reaches a dangerously high temperature. For additional safety, always turn on the cold faucet before the hot and turn off the hot faucet before the cold. And routinely test bathwater temperature with your elbow or whole hand, swishing it around to make sure the temperature is even throughout before putting your baby in. Or invest in a tub thermometer sold with other baby bath supplies. If you're planning to install new bathroom faucets, a faucet with a single control is safer than separate hot and cold faucets. Consider a protective cover for the tub spout to prevent bumps or burns should a child fall against it. Never leave your baby in the tub unattended, even in a special tub seat. Most aren't recommended anyway, since kids can topple over in them. This rule should be strictly followed until your child is at least 5 years old. Never leave any amount of water in the tub when it's not in use. A small child at play can fall into the tub and drown in just a couple of inches of water. When the toilet isn't being used, keep the lid closed with suction cups or a safety latch made for this purpose. Again, just those couple of inches of water pose a drowning risk to a small child who topples in.
There's no substitute for supervision. You've latched and locked, capped off and padded, checked and rechecked. Your home is officially baby-proofed. Time to relax? Not completely. Though thorough baby-proofing is a very important first step in keeping your little one safe, you've still got your work cut out for you. Constant adult supervision, keeping your baby within either eye or earshot at all times, is vital, even when you've got all your baby-proofing bases and outlets covered.
Baby-proofing in the laundry room. While your washer, dryer, detergent, stain remover, and other laundry products are indispensable when there's a baby in the house, they could be harmful in little hands. To reduce that risk, limit access to the laundry room or area. If it has a separate door, keep it closed and latched. If not, secure the area with a gate if possible. Keep the washer and dryer doors closed when you're not loading or unloading. If your machine gets very hot during use, make sure your baby can't touch it. Keep bleach, detergents, stain removers, dryer sheets, and other laundry products in a latched cabinet and store them promptly again after using. When containers are empty, rinse them thoroughly, then place them in a baby inaccessible recycling or trash bin. Detergent and stain removing pods are especially appealing to little ones and easy for them to pop into their mouths. Make sure those are never within reach. Baby-proofing in the garage. Most family garages and greenhouses, workshops, sheds, and hobby areas are chock-full of toxic products, sharp objects, and other potential hazards. If your garage is attached to your house, keep the door between the two locked at all times. If the garage is separate, keep the garage door closed, and keep any vehicles in the garage locked too. If you have an automatic garage door, be sure that it's one that automatically reverses if it hits an obstacle, such as a small child. All automatic doors manufactured after 1982 are required to have this safeguard. If yours doesn't, get a retrofit kit to upgrade your door. Adding a resilient rubber strip along the bottom of the door offers additional protection because it has a cushioning effect. Check your garage door periodically by lowering it onto a heavy cardboard box or another expendable item to be sure the reverse feature is still operating. If it isn't, disconnect the opener until it's been repaired or replaced. Store paints, paint thinners, turpentine, pesticides, weed killers, fertilizer, antifreeze, windshield washer fluid, and other car care products in an out-of-reach cabinet. All hazardous products should be stored in their original containers so that there's no mistaking their contents. Be sure the directions for their use and safety warnings are visible. If you aren't sure what's in a particular container, dispose of it as you would hazardous waste. As an extra precaution, don't let your baby loose in the garage or a workshop or other dangerous space, even for a moment. Carry your baby to and from the car. Outdoor safety. Though most injuries to infants occur in the home, serious ones can also occur in your own backyard or someone else's, at the local playground or on the street. Clearly, you can't baby-proof the world, though there will be times when you'll wish you could. But you can easily prevent most outside-the-home accidents. Never let a baby play outdoors alone or snooze in a stroller or car seat outside alone. Check public play areas before letting your baby loose. Be alert for dog poop, broken glass, cigarette butts, and anything else baby shouldn't touch. Be sure that porch and deck railings are sturdy. Check them regularly for deterioration or damage, and space so that young children can't stick their heads through or fall through the sides. any outdoor area with a precipitous drop should be inaccessible to young children. Don't allow your baby to crawl around in deep grasses or anywhere poison ivy, poison oak, or poison sumac might lurk, or where he or she might sneak a snack on some poisonous plant. This is also the kind of locale where ticks may be biting. Keep an eye on baby too when he or she is in the stroller or playing near flowers, leaves, shrubbery, or pine needles. Baby can easily grab a handful of leaves or petals and stuff them into his or her mouth, or get pricked by a pine needle. If you have a sandbox, keep it covered when it's not in use, to keep out animal droppings, leaves, blowing trash, and so on. If the sand gets wet, let it dry out in the sun before covering. When filling the sandbox, be sure to use play sand or ordinary beach sand. And always carefully supervise a baby in a sandbox, ending the play session if baby starts to sample the sand or throw it. If you have an outdoor fireplace, fire pit, or barbecue grill, make sure to keep your baby away from it while it's in use. The fire should be attended by an adult from the moment it's lit until it's been doused and is completely cool. With a charcoal grill, supervise until the coals, if any, have cooled and been disposed of. Remember that coals that aren't doused with water stay hot for a long time after the fire itself is out. If you use a tabletop grill, be sure to set it on a stable surface that your baby can't reach or overturn. If you have a propane grill, make sure your child can't access the controls, gas tubing, or tank valve. In hot weather, always check metal parts on playground equipment, strollers and car seats, and outdoor furniture before letting your baby come in contact with them. Metal can get hot enough, especially in a scorching sun, to burn a young child severely with just a few seconds of contact. Blacktop or asphalt can also get hot in the sun, so don't let your baby crawl on it or toddle on it barefoot on very hot days. Keep wading pools and other water catchments, ponds, fountains, bird baths, inaccessible to babies, even if the water is only an inch or two deep. When they're not in use, keep wading pools overturned, stored away, or covered so they don't fill with rainwater. Enclose a swimming pool with a fence that is at least 5 feet high on all sides, separating the pool from the house. Entrances to the pool should be kept locked at all times. Gates should open away from the pool and be self-closing with a self-latching lock that is well out of reach of children. An alarm that signals the gate has been opened offers additional protection. Remember, too, to avoid leaving toys around or in the pool that might attract a baby or toddler. Be sure that outdoor play equipment is safe. It should be sturdily constructed, correctly assembled, firmly anchored, and installed at least 6 feet from fences or walls. All screws and bolts should be capped to prevent injuries from rough or sharp edges. Check for loose caps periodically. Avoid S-type hooks for swings. The chains can pop out of them, and rings or other openings that are between 5 and 10 inches in diameter, since a child's head might become entrapped. Swing seats should be of soft materials to prevent serious head injuries. The best surfaces for outdoor play areas are 12 inches of sand, mulch, wood chips, or shock-absorbent material, such as composition rubber mats.
Poison control. Every year, some 1.2 million children in the U.S. accidentally ingest a hazardous substance, and that's not surprising. Children, particularly very young ones, often explore their environment orally, which means that anything they pick up may go right into their mouths. They don't stop to consider whether a substance or object is safe or edible, or whether it's toxic. Their unsophisticated taste buds and sense of smell don't warn them that a substance is dangerous because it tastes or smells bad. If your baby ever ingests something you think might be harmful, or you suspect that he or she might have, call Poison Control at 800-222-1222 immediately. To protect your baby from accidental poisoning, follow these rules. Lock all potentially poisonous substances out of reach and out of sight of your baby. Even crawlers can climb up on low chairs, stools, or cushions to get to things left on tables or counters. Follow all safety rules for administering medicines. Never call medicine candy or take medicine in front of your child. Purchase products that have childproof packaging when possible. But don't rely on it to keep your baby from getting them open. Store them where baby can't access them at all. Make a habit of closing all containers tightly and returning hazardous substances to safe storage immediately after each use. Don't put a hazardous cleanser or a bottle of detergent down even for a moment while you answer an email or the door. Store food and non-food items separately, and never store non-edibles in empty food containers, bleach in an apple juice bottle, for example. Children learn very early where their food comes from and will assume that what they see is what they'll get without wondering why the juice isn't golden or the jelly isn't purple. Never leave alcoholic beverages within your baby's reach, and keep all wine and liquor bottles in a locked cabinet or bar. If you store any in the refrigerator, make sure they're kept at the back of the highest shelf. Any amount of alcohol, no matter how small, can be harmful to your little one. Ditto for mouthwash, which often contains alcohol. Always choose the less hazardous household product over the one with a long list of warnings and precautions. Still, be aware that even green products can be unsafe, so keep those out of your baby's reach as well. When discarding potentially poisonous substances, empty them down the toilet, unless they can harm the septic system or pipes, in which case follow label directions for disposal. Rinse the containers before discarding, unless the label instructs otherwise, and put them out in a tightly covered recycling bin or trash can immediately. To help everyone in your household think danger when seeing a potentially poisonous product, put poison stickers on the product containers. If you can't locate commercially printed labels, some poison centers can provide Mr. Yuck labels. Simply put an X of black tape on each product, without covering instructions or warnings. Explain to your family that this mark means danger. Regularly reinforce the message, and eventually your child will also come to understand that these products are unsafe. Be alert for repeat poisonings. A child who has ingested a poison once is statistically likely to make the same mistake again within the year.
Teaching your baby to be safe. Injuries are much more likely to happen to someone who's susceptible to them. And of course, babies easily fall and trip and bump and reach into that category. Your goal as a parent is to reduce this susceptibility as much as you can. Injury-proofing your baby's environment and supervising constantly are very good places to start, but don't stop there. To keep your little one safe, you'll also have to start injury-proofing your little one. How? By teaching what's safe and what's unsafe and why, and establishing and modeling good safety habits. Begin by building and using a vocabulary of warning words that your baby will come to associate with dangerous objects, substances, and situations. Ouch, boo-boo, hot, and phrases, don't touch. That's dangerous. Be careful. That's an ouch. That could give you a boo-boo. The red flags will sail right over your little one's head at first, like everything else you're trying to teach. But in time and with consistent repetition, your baby's brain will begin to store and process this vital information until one day it becomes clear that your lessons have taken hold. Begin teaching your baby now about the following. Sharp or pointy implements. Whenever you use a knife, scissors, razor, or other sharp implement, be sure to remind your baby that it's sharp, that it's not a toy, and that only mommy and daddy or other grown-ups are allowed to use it. Illustrate more tangibly by pretending to touch the point of the implement, saying ouch, and pulling your finger away quickly in mock pain. Hot stuff. Even a 7 or 8 month old will begin to catch on when you consistently warn that your coffee or the oven, a lit match or candle, a radiator or heater, a fireplace is hot and shouldn't be touched. Very soon, the word hot will automatically signal don't touch your baby, though impulse control to avoid touching anyway will come much later. Illustrate the concept by letting your baby touch something warm but not hot enough to burn, such as the outside of your coffee cup after it's cooled down. Continue pointing out what's hot and shouldn't be touched. Be particularly careful to provide the hot don't touch warning with something new in your home, like a new toaster or oven. Steps. True, it's necessary to protect crawlers and new walkers from serious falls by securely gating all staircases in the home. But it's also necessary to help your child learn how to navigate steps safely. The child who has no experience with steps, who knows nothing about them except that they're off limits, is at greatest risk of a tumble the first time an open stairway is discovered. So put a gate at the top of every stairway of more than 3 steps in your home. Going downstairs is much trickier for the beginner than going up, and so much more dangerous. Downstairs, put the gate 3 steps up from the bottom so that your child can practice